This past week, Melanie and I, as well as Dale Ulrich Jr., attended the AFCM family reunion. And what a time of recharging. One of the things that I was so made aware of during this annual conference is how the association that we are a part of really is pressing to hold fast to the truth and to hold fast to the Spirit of God and His activity in the body of Christ in this day. And I, in fact, kind of made reference to it with the article that I did for the newsletter. Make sure you get the newsletter and find out the other details for coming in July here. But the article was about not dropping the baton of the Holy Spirit. And I see that Paul addressed that with the Galatians. In Galatians 3, he said, you know, you were born by the Spirit. You began by the Spirit, and now you're trying to be perfected by the flesh. In other words, they had, and I brought my baton with me today. I used this in Vietnam when I was sharing about the transfer of ministry. And when I was visiting with them in Vietnam, as well as the ITC course that I did, I talked about, you know, what lane are you going to run in? What team are you running with? And what's the baton that the person behind you is bringing to hand off to you? Those that have been before us in the walk of faith, what kind of a baton are they carrying? And we can see with the Galatians that they were dropping the baton of truth and embracing a lie by those that were saying, oh, you got to do this, you got to be circumcised in order to be a Christian, and all those kinds of things. They were putting them under legalism, so they were dropping the baton of truth, and also they were dropping the baton of the Spirit when he said, you began by the Spirit, and now you're trying to be perfected by the flesh. In other words, you're trying to live out this life without the Spirit. You're dropping the baton of the Spirit. And it was just reinforced to us this week that with those that are leading us in AFCM and those that are going before us, those that are handing off to us, they're holding fast to the truth no matter what the cost. Because the truth is not so acceptable in our culture anymore. People want to dismiss the truth. They want to put down the truth so that it's more inclusive and more palatable to the multitudes. And they're afraid of the works of the Spirit. So they let the things of the Spirit go. And one of the messages that we received on one evening was just, I don't know if this was the title, but the speaker, who was one of the ITC class teachers, the Spirit of God spoke to him and said, what about me? What about me? When you're considering all the things that you're doing, are you considering what the Spirit of God wants? And so I just wanted to share that with you, that we had a tremendous week, and I'm not going to share much more anymore really about that. Because we want to get Sean up here. But the other thing that I see about handoff is, Sean, why don't you come on up here now? This is a young man that we've been able to observe from when we were going to AFCM conferences and our kids were wee little. They were together in the kids' ministry with he and his brother, Sean and Ty Mahawan. We've had his parents here before ministering in our church, David and Paula Mahawan, and this is Sean Mahawan, their son, and I see the same thing we've been talking about, a culture of transfer, where we are raising up young people to hand off to so that they can do the work of the ministry and pass it on to the next generation. I see that happening in their family and in their missions ministry. As Sean and his wife, Lindsay, who is not here with us today because her brother was getting married this weekend, and so unfortunately, her brother went out over us, but we understand, and that's just fine. But we're so glad to have Sean here and so glad to see the transfer that's happening in their missions ministry in Thailand. And with that, I just want to pray for you and just release it to you to share whatever you want to with the missions ministry that's happening and whatever word of the Lord that you would discern is for us here today. So, Father, we thank you for the gifts of ministry that you bring to the body of Christ. We thank you for the Association of Faith Churches and Ministers, and that this missions ministry, Trumpets of Christ, are a part of that association, and we're glad to be a part. We're glad to contribute to their missions ministry monthly, Father, as a church. And so with that, Lord, we just want to release Sean as you have brought him here this day to minister to us. May he be able to perceive and discern what the Spirit would speak to us as a church, and may we have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us here this day. And so with that, Father, we pray your blessing upon him, and may he be released to do what you would have him do here in this place, this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. How's everyone doing? You're doing good? Doing good? Good. So my name's Sean Mahowan, like Pastor Langworthy said. I am 23 years old, believe it or not. I might look younger. Someone said I look 19 in a restroom there. Men actually talk in a restroom nowadays. That's kind of a new thing in the States, I've kind of found out. I'm not one of those people, but I'm okay. But anyways, so I'm just going to share a little bit about our ministry before I go to the word that I believe that God has for us this morning. As you can see on the pictures, we do a lot of ministry. We have a local church there. Thank you so much for being so generous in sending your pastor over to us last year. It was a really huge blessing to have them with us, and it was a lot of fun too. Have you guys ever gone there before this trip, this last trip? No? Wow. Yeah, once you come once, you got to just keep on coming. We do a lot of local ministries in Thailand, and one of the things we do is we have a children's home, which has kids, and children's homes, of course, has kids. But we right now have 14 kids. Someone yesterday at dinner was like, wait, you have 14 kids? No, I do not have 14 kids. But the kids we get and the girls and guys that we get is either from abused families or they're orphans. And especially the girls, like usually we receive them if they're and rescue them if they're endangered to human trafficking. And so we do the pre stuff, like if someone's endangered, we would rescue them. We don't do the afterwards thing because there's a lot more that goes into that. You need lawyers, you need guns, you need it's a whole big organization. I know that's a huge movement of awareness here in the United States, and whatever organizations you guys are giving to for that, I totally support it. And for Thailand, we are the capital of it in Asia. Everyone that gets trafficked has to come through Thailand just because it's one of the only free countries around, and the country's just kind of set up where it's easier to do that. So I'm sure when Pastor Langworthy and them were in the city with us, it's just kind of out in the open there. It's not hidden at all. So recently we got six people baptized at our church, so that was a super huge deal for me because it's the first time that I baptized people. And also, we've been working for 2 years in Thailand, and we got like three people saved, so they got baptized. And something with Asians is they usually don't, we don't express ourselves a lot, which has become an issue in my marriage because when your wife is an American and she's, you know, being emotional, and then your Asian guy looking like she's like, don't you feel sad? I'm like, I am sad. On the inside, you know, on the inside, I do feel for you. But it's a little bit harder to show it, you know, because we don't show our feelings. So anyways, going back to the baptismal, like, I thought I was the only one excited for this, you know, I'm like the pastor, you know, if the pastor's not excited, then you have a problem. So I was super excited, and then I took them out for lunch, and then pretty soon, like, a few of them saying, oh, I'm so tired, you know, and I'm like, oh, why is that? And it was like, well, we couldn't sleep last night because we were so excited that we were going to get baptized today. And that's a huge deal for them, baptism. They'll repeat anything you want them to say, except when it comes to the baptismal, that's when they really dedicate their lives to the Lord, because in their culture and their religion, it's the act. It's not just saying it with the mouth. They'll say anything you want. Except when it comes to the act, that's usually when you can determine whether they are in it or not. And so it was super exciting to see that they were also excited. Of course, I told my church that too. And of course, they showed it like this. So Children's Psalm, let's see. I need to say this. My parents said to say hi, especially my father. I just talked to him last night, and he said to give his love to you guys and to the pastors. And so they've been doing this for over 20 years. I've just been starting to do this in the past 2 years full-time and pretty much have sort of, under my dad's leadership, kind of taken over the management of the children's home, the farming, the local church there, and just the local ministry we do there. Crazy, right? Why would you hand that off to a 23-year-old? This past year, we got one girl. She was endangered and being trafficked and all that, so we went and rescued her and kind of took her out of that situation. But there was one six-year-old boy, which you're trying to not have favorites, but when there's another little cute one that comes in, you kind of tend to favor or like that one more. And then they're a bit more bold because they don't know any of the rules. So, you know, they'll be coming over at my house at 5 a.m. They're like, Ajahn Cobb, Ajahn Cobb. Ajahn is pastor. And he'll want a cookie because Lindsay bakes cookies. It's 5 a.m. in the morning. I'm just like, if you weren't so cute, you know. He's 6 years old, and his name's Cartoon. We call him Toon for short. I don't know what his parents were thinking, but he came from a messed up family. He was born in prison. The only reason why he's normal is because his mom was an alcoholic and a drug addict, and the only reason we believe he's normal is because she was in prison, which prohibited her from doing all those stuff during her pregnancy. And we're not sure if she's alive or dead, but he was living on the streets, and his dad was an abusive dad, so he has kind of like a messed up arm that we're trying to take to the doctors and get fixed because his dad broke it but never put it back together, so it kind of grew back weirdly. So he just came, you know, he's messing with everything. We have this rule that they're king for a week, which means they don't know the rules, and we just don't tell them the rules because they come from a really harsh background. So, and what helps is we got a lot of kids that came from the same background, so they kind of help each other out, and they kind of understand each other. Starting the tractor up, because we have a farm, so you'll start the tractor up, you know, without any permission. It was just like, please let us whip him, please let us whip him. And all the older guys was like, please let we show him who's boss, you know, because he's calling people names and all of that. But we just kind of let him do what he wanted to do. And after a while, you know, he got his first whipping, and that was like, you guys do that here? And we still do that in Thailand, because it's normal and it's in the Bible. But parents are clapping. his name is Toon. Lindsay knows Sean. My wife's name's Lindsay. She knows the Sean language. She also knows Sean me. She doesn't know any Thai, and he knows some Thai, but that's all he would speak is Thai, and he'll talk to Lindsay in Thai. It doesn't matter what she's responding or not. He's just talking. My first child. I mean, I've seen my parents do it many times. So it was kind of like they were traveling. It was my first one, I could say. And I grew up in the children's home, and it was a bunch of boy soldiers. So one of the reasons why we had to work through the emotional stuff in my family, in my marriage, is because we were always taught to not cry, one, because that's weak. Two, we were taught that you're a man's man. So you don't ask for help. And three, if you were hurt, you just suck it up and move on. And that's the way all of us kind of ran. It wasn't the way my parents wanted it to be, but it was because of their background. That's just kind of how they were. And growing up with them, that's kind of just how we were taught by our older brothers, which one of them is my best man in my wedding. So this was first time, and I'm praying to God because He came to ask, I knew something was wrong because he came to me like one day, like he's like, Ajahn Cobb. I'm like, yes, Toon. And he's like, can I have a hug? I didn't give him a hug because that's not, it was then that I knew I had something to fix because he was deprived of love and then he found out that we love him and then he wanted me to show that love, but I wouldn't. I kind of made up some excuse. I'm like, oh, hey, you. And then I just kind of moved on. But now we hug all the time. And then he comes and hugs my legs, you know, and stuff. And but one day I kind of just sat with him and we were watching. I got this bright new soccer shoes, you know, and he's wanting to try them on. So I let him try them on while the guys were warming up. And then we were kind of like looking off in the field there where the soccer game would have been. And I was like, so Tuan, how are you doing? He's like, I'm doing good. You know, he always tries to act tough. And I'm like, so what, do you feel happy? Are you happy? He's like, yes, I'm very happy. I have lots of friends. And he says, they beat up on me sometimes, but he says, I can beat them up too. I'm like, okay, that's good. And him and this other, the youngest one, like they don't get along at all. And they're the only ones that are similar to age. And I'm like, okay, good. And so you're happy. And I was like, the biggest one was like, I was like, do you feel safe? Because he never was safe. He doesn't know what safe is. He, and this doesn't only happen in Thailand, by the way. This happens in the United States too. And I don't think of it anything special. It's not, oh, I'm a missionary, holier than, you know. I just doing what God has called me to do. And we're on the same team, and we're all the same church. And then, like, he kind of looked over at me, and I shouldn't cry. He kind of just looked over at me and just like, no, Ajahn, I'm not afraid anymore. It's like I don't have bad dreams anymore, and I can sleep, and that just makes it all worth it. I mean, he's the first one, and he's special to me because like he kind of just makes me cry now. He just kind of broke that barrier. And I would like to thank you guys for your prayers and your support. And especially, I value the most the friendship that we've had all throughout the years. And I thank you so much for that. So that's just a little bit about the ministry. And looks like I have a half hour to share you guys something that God has put on my heart to share with you guys. Is that all right? Awesome. You guys can stop the slides now. All right, so this morning, it's a pretty simple message, and I believe something God's been speaking to my heart is attribute of God. Like, I've been studying the attributes of God, and we all know that God is love, but I want to speak on this morning that God is also good. And so let's turn to the Bible. I want to go through a couple scriptures before I go into it. Let's look in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. It says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? In verse 19, it says, so Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? For no one is good but one, that is God. And I just want to stop there in this passage. And let's look in Psalms 34. Psalms 34 and verse 8. Psalms 34 and verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. All right? So let's just pray for a moment and then we'll continue. Dear Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you would just lead us and guide us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you would prepare our hearts and open our ears to receive your word this morning. I pray, Lord, that we believe you are the all-powerful God, and we believe that you only have good things for us and good things in store for us. And we pray, Lord, that you would just bless the rest of our afternoon and bless the meal that we're about to have after I'm done talking. In Jesus' name, amen. Best thing about being pastor's kids is after the church and the food, and that's like the best Sunday ever. But I was starting to like think about this more and more, and I kind of realized this about 4 months ago, that I was living life knowing that God is good, God is love, and God loves us, but he is also good, because we know God is love. Like, God just doesn't, he does not love, he is love. He is the agape love. And I tell my youth this all the time, and I tell my church this all the time, is that the love of God for your life and the relationship you have with God is the only relationship that you cannot affect by what you do, because it's a one way. His love will be at your doorstep and will be in your life, or will be ready to come into your life whether you want him or not. His love is always there. It says in Romans, for while we were still sinners, that he sent his son down to die for us. It wasn't anything we did that we deserved, that we weren't even thinking of him, but he is love. So that's why he does what he does. And it also, that's love. Like, you cannot affect that. God will always love you whether you're bad or good. Now, that, of course, doesn't mean that there's principles in the Bible and stuff that enable you have to do certain things in order to be blessed in a certain way, you know, like tithe and sowing a seed. I'm talking about his love for you. I'm not talking about that, the blessings and something. I'm talking about love. And it's a one-way street. See, when I have a relationship with Pastor Langworthy, our relationship will be always good if we're giving love to one another. But when one of us stops, then there's a problem in our relationship, in our friendship. It's the same thing with my wife and I. If I stop, if I don't show her the love that I know how she feels loved, if I stop doing that, or she stops doing stuff that makes me feel loved, then the relationship is affected. Except with God, it doesn't work that way, because he is love. Love comes out of him. But also another thing I want to talk about this morning that is, he is good. And I've been living life at a whole nother level in the ministry and in my personal relationship with God, knowing that he is good. And because, like in Psalms, it says that he who trusts in the Lord is blessed. And I believe that when you know God is good, you can live life in a whole nother confidence level. Because if you look in the life of Paul, I mean, his ministry life was kind of bad. There were some fun parts, but there were some also really bad parts. I mean, how many shipwrecks he went through, bitten by a snake. All he's trying to do is spread the good news of God. But his message never changed, and he never lost his hope in God, because I believe it's because he knows God is good. And that's why when Jesus was saying, like, why do you call me good? Because I believe he was telling to the young ruler, like, you don't know what you're talking about when you're calling me good, because only God is good. And only because when you're saying you're good, it ends up becoming a religion. The only reason why we are good is because he is good. The only reason why we are right before God is because of what he's done, not because of what we've done. All we've done is have faith in God, and by the grace of God, we can enter into the kingdom of God. Amen? So it's because he is good. And then that's why Jesus is saying, like, you don't know what you're talking about when you're calling me, I am good. Because only God is good. Because good is really relative to where you come from, the culture you're in, the way you grow up, what your parents taught you. Some things that, I'm not even going to get into it, but some things my parents say it's okay for you to do. Where I knew, traveling around as a missionary, some pastor's family, what we were allowed to do, we knew that their family wasn't allowed to do, and made us feel really bad too, or vice versa. Like, they could listen to stuff or watch stuff that we couldn't watch, like Disney princess movies at one point. That's evil, yeah. Yeah, Beauty and the Beast, my favorite by far. But it's really relative. And even in our culture, we say some things are good here and then we say some things in Thailand. The things that you say are good is really bad in Thailand. Like wanting to move across the United States to not live next to your family. That's horrible in Asian culture. You're supposed to live in the same house. No. But you know what I mean? Like it's like I live on the same property as my parents, okay? It's 80 acres. We live about 40 acres down. It's a pretty good distance. But even that isn't enough to some people. They're like, "Oh, you live on the same property as your parents?" Well, I'm like, "Yes. Does it get too much?" Well, they kind of mind their own business, and we mind our own business, and we see each other a lot because we work at the same ministry. But like, because that's just the way we get here, it's like, no, you don't live in the same town or across the street or especially in the same neighborhood, at least move neighborhoods. Like, where in Asia, it's good for you to be together. It's good for you to try to live in the same place. I mean, then when your in-laws get old, then they move into your house. Oh, now we're stepping on some toes in the U.S. now. I mean, I love my in-laws, but living with them would maybe push some things. This isn't going online, is it? But really the reason why we say someone is good and bad is because we try to kind of rate things depending on what they do, and really that becomes in Thailand what I call religion, because that's what religion is based out of. We usually say like, oh, Christians don't do this, Christians don't do that, and I'm just like, no. That's claiming something that's not true. We're not supposed to do that, but we are people. And I know some Buddhists that are way bigger givers and way better people than some Christians are. So when we say someone is good, that's what Jesus is trying to say. You don't know what you're talking about. Because when the Old Testament claims, taste and see that the Lord is good, it's a bold claim to say Yahweh is something. Because that means he is that. That means when it says God is love, that means God is love. He is the ultimate definition of love. If you want to see love, God is love. It's the same thing with goodness. If you want to know what is good and who is good, then it is, you got to look at God, because he's the ultimate thing. He has no evil inside of him. I kind of made this joke in Thailand because everybody tries to live in a religious way. We always say, oh, this person is a great person. You're a great person. And then it's just like, well, why don't we just be honest and say, this is 80% good person. But the 20%, man, when sometimes when just like he's tired, you know, like he starts losing it, or like, well, let's just be honest. Nobody's, then pretty soon, like they start realizing that really nobody's good. Really nobody's qualified to go into heaven. Really nobody's qualified to have a relationship with a holy God. But the only reason why we can do that is when we have our claim in Christ and we know who we are in Christ, so then we can have a relationship with him. And he put the Holy Spirit in us. Not only did he just die for us to let us live and go into heaven, but he put the Holy Spirit in us so that we can live the life that he wants us and that we dream of living, to lead us and guide us, to empower us. And the reason why it impacted me so much is because I lived life knowing God is love, and I knew he loved me. Except when the bad times come, then like that wasn't enough for me to know that he loved me. Because it's hard, it's painful at that time, and you're like, but God loves me. I mean, Paul was like in like waist deep of, I'm going to say this word in church, poop water, in prison with Silas. And he was praising God. I mean, praising God would be the last thing that I would think of if I was like, you know, waist deep in something. I mean, and most theologians believe they weren't in a farming community, so it wasn't like cow. Like growing up, like to make money, I used to like our allowance was I would grab like cow manure and then put them in a basket and then I would go sell them for like fertilizer. So that doesn't gross me out, but humans, that's just a whole nother factor. But I mean, he was praising God. Like, put yourself in that situation. Or even put yourself, I mean, I'm only 23 years old, and I've gone through some stuff too. But life sometimes gets hard because that just is life. God never said that he'll promise you an easy life. He promised you that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promised you that he will empower you through those times. Like, and it's because he is good, you might want to write this down, but it's because he is good that I know God didn't send his son down to die for us so that we can have strength in the storms that the Father sent. Because Jesus said that, how much more will the Father give good gifts to his children? How much more will God give good gifts? Because even us being natural, well, not me, I mean you guys being natural parents, knows that you won't give a scorpion to your child, you won't give a snake, you'll give them the gummy worms, but but you wouldn't give them bad gifts to harm them. And Jesus is saying, how much more will your father do? Will our father do? Because he's a good, good father. That's why I believe that he just doesn't send his son down. So then it's like, oh, God's going to use this. God sent this situation so that they would repent. No, that doesn't happen. In 2000 something, like, we had a tsunami come through in Thailand. You're saying God sent that over there so that they would repent? No, because Jesus never did it once. He said, if you want to see the Father, look at me. If you want to know the Father, look at me. He was offended by his disciples saying, let us see the Father. And Jesus is like, I am the Father. And every time his children in need and people needed healing, he provided for what they needed because he's representing a good father. Never once did Jesus say, oh, well, Samaria wouldn't receive me, so let's send a tornado down there, and after that I'll go over and show how great I am, and then they'll repent to me. He never did that once. Because he's a good God. We have the devil in this earth already. We don't need a God that's sending storms to people's lives on purpose. And being in Thailand, they believe this because it's all based on deeds. But I'm saying this morning is that if you know God is good, even when times are bad, you will have more faith. See, I've been having more faith than I've ever had in this past 4 or 5 months. We were sending an email out saying that we needed something, and we'll add some extra stuff that we knew that probably what we thought probably would someone wouldn't give because it cost so much, but within 3 minutes, it was all provided for. And we're talking in the thousands of dollars here. Within 3 minutes, sending the email, I was thinking, oh, we had to go to the United States, and then we had to travel around, and then just believe God there. But we were over there sending an email. And my wife's like, oh, I hope it happens. And I'm inside thinking, you know, yeah, me too, you know, because it would be nice. We needed a couple air conditioners at the school because, like, my wife was having a hard time teaching, and then the students were having a hard time staying awake because it's 110 degrees outside with no insulation and no AC, and we just had a fan going on. So it's when you know God is good, that's when you can trust in him. That's when you can have faith in him. No matter what's happening in your life, you know that God is good. Amen? And then in Jeremiah 11, chapter 9 and verse 11, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is God saying, he says, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. I want to go back to Jesus right now. One of the most obvious things, and you could call it a storm maybe, but Jesus was running. It says, when the Bible says that someone has set their face towards something, that means they're going head towards that way, and they're determined to go that way. And the Bible says that his face was towards Jerusalem, but he was wanting to go through Samaria because he wanted to do some ministry. So he sent his disciples there, I think James and John, to go prepare a place for him and prepare the meetings, you could say. And then they go into Samaria, and then they rejected Jesus because he was going to Jerusalem and not Samaria. See, at that time, they had two temples going on, and then they kind of had like this one's the true place to worship God, and this one's the true place to worship God. And so they didn't get along religiously, like, even the blood, the Jews were like pure and they weren't, and so they had a lot of problems. And Jesus was going to go to somewhere. See, what a small point of this story is, like, how many times have we rejected Jesus just because someone is different than we are? How many times have we said, oh, we won't want this person, oh, we don't want to have a relationship with this person? We're really just serving the same God, worshiping the same God, but just because someone is headed somewhere else, we say, no, we don't want you here. And we tell Jesus the same thing. And so when the disciples heard this, they were mad, right? They were mad, and then they came back and they're like, let's pray like Elijah and pray that God will rain down fire from heaven and burn all of them because they deserve it. And which would probably be my response too. But thank God I'm not God. So, right? I mean, because God's a good God. I might be 50% good. I'm not sure yet. I'm hoping at least 70. Anyways, but I am good because God is good. So, amen? Amen. They come back to Jesus and say that, and then Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of. And I believe when Jesus was saying that, he's like, that's the old way. And it wasn't as extreme as Elijah's point. I mean, his minor prophets or his mini prophets or his minions, you could call them, were getting slaughtered. And they were getting persecuted. And his life was endangered. I mean, their lives weren't endangered and nobody was getting killed here. But they wanted the same judgment on the Samaritans as they saw that Elijah did on the people in the Old Testament. But Jesus was saying, you don't know what spirit you're of. For the Son of Man has not come to condemn man, but has come to save them. See, Jesus has no interest. God has no interest in making your life any harder because it's already hard because of man's sin. Like, God doesn't need to do anything for bad things to happen. But Jesus said, let us pray and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I believe, like, if you know that God is good, then you can begin to live life in a way that you've never lived before. Because in John 10:10 it says that the evil one has come the devil has come to seek, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life more abundantly. And I have 2 points that I'm going to end with here. And point number one is, like, God's goodness for me, and I believe for you, assures that God's purpose for us is good. God's goodness assures us that God's purpose for us is good. For just as parents know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more will our Heavenly Father want only good for us? James 1:1 says, every good, which is kind of a bold claim by James, every good and perfect gift is from above. That means your paycheck, you might be working for it, but according to James, God gave it to you. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So that's another thing that can give you confidence too. He never changes. Our God never changes. That means he will always be good and he will always be love also. There's no evil in him and he won't change his mind about it because he can't. God can't be evil because he is good and he has no evil in him. In Romans 8:28 it says, for we know that in all things God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. My second point, God's goodness offers us security and encouragement. Psalms 552 verse 1, it says, the goodness of God endures continually. That means it doesn't matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter what's going on, his goodness always endures. God will always be good, and his character never changes. See, the goodness of God is the cornerstone that will direct. The goodness of God is a cornerstone that will direct our thoughts and our default reaction to situations. And do we have, who was playing the keyboard? Yeah, could you play some? Make me sound spiritual. thank you. the goodness of God is a cornerstone that will direct our thoughts and our default reaction to situations. See, when I realized God was also good, I didn't have doubt in God. Like in Thailand, we come over here giving the good news, you know, like the good report. But in the mix of all those good reports, there's been some setbacks. Sometimes we took one step forward and two step back. Sometimes I wonder, God, I thought he was the one. I thought he was the one to, like, take over this department. And all of a sudden, he just left. And then all of a sudden, it's like I find myself having to do everything again. And even more than that, having the local church coming against you sometimes because of your age. You're a pastor of a church. You might have a bigger church than they do, but because of your age, they're looking down upon you. And there's scriptures on that too, so I'm not wavered by that at all, and I respect your pastor a lot for being brave enough to invite me. I told him this yesterday. But it can be hard, and financially sometimes we struggle. I thought you called us to be here. I know that if you called us to do something, you will always provide. But at this time, it doesn't feel that way so much. Right? We all go through that. It's like, wait. You said you would do this. I see in your word you would do this, except now the total opposite is happening right now. And then all of a sudden, what happens if you don't know God is good and you don't ingrain that deep inside of you, you end up looking to God and blaming God for what's happening. Can I just be bold? God, you said you would heal this person of cancer and you are the healer, but they're gone now. I'm just being honest because I'm not going to preach like just a feel-good message and then just leave, but I just want to minister you to this morning, and I want to impart hope and faith into your life. And sometimes we have to acknowledge the tough things. And I'm not fearful to acknowledge the tough things that, because during that time, sometimes all we have to grab on when we're waist deep in feces, that all we could latch onto is that we know He loves us and we know that He is good and He has good thoughts towards us. Even if I lose my life today, I know that He still loves me and I know that He still is good. I mean, 11 of the 12 disciples died. Do you guys know that? Because they were ministering the gospel and they gave their life to Christ. Paul says, I am a slave to Christ. They call it a love slave because in the culture back then, like if a slave loves their master, they would give their whole life to him. It's like, I'll always be your slave. It's not the same kind of history as the U.S. has, but back then, like, you could leave once in a while. After you paid your debt, you could go. But Paul says, I choose to be a slave to Christ because I know that He loves me and I know that He died for me on the cross and I do not deserve His love, but because He is good. Like, I serve God 80% until I realize God is also good. I mean, I'm being honest. Like, I went to Thailand, but part of me is like, what if the what if sets in? Then we start to live in doubt instead of in faith. And then I realize God is good, and then I realize it's not all about me. I was living life like I was the center of the universe, and God revolved around it. Instead, I realize that I'm nothing, but I'm something because I believe God loves me the most, and I know He loves you the most. And I know that He wants to bless me. And I also know He has a call for my life, and I don't know what He's going to require me to do. And I hope he keeps me at the same church in a safe country. Maybe one day move back to the United States. But, I mean, I don't know what God has planned, but I know I'm sold out for God. And I know He is good. And I'm to a point now, it's like, if you want to take my life because of the gospel, I'll gladly give it. Because He is my friend, and He's good. And I have a passion for God. And I want to impart that to you this morning. Because I want you to live a life with freedom, knowing that God's there. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Paul says, Paul, I don't know how he worded it exactly, but he said, Christ suffered for you. He says, and you think sometimes you won't be required to do the same? Sometimes you won't be required to share the gospel to a friend in high school and then realize that they laugh at you? Or at work? He never promised us an easy life, but he promised us that he would give us peace and joy. He promised us that he would provide for us. He promised us that, and even, I'm just saying this more, even if none of that happens, I'm to a place that I don't care anymore because he's my savior. I would be going to hell if it wasn't for him, and that's big enough debt. And anyways, I don't believe God owes me anything at all because I owe him everything. Amen? Amen. So, I'm not sure if you guys do this, but if any of you guys would like prayer of encouragement or any sort of prayer, I'd love to pray for you if you guys are okay with that.